Welcome, everyone, to the wrestling show, and this is the second day after WrestleMania and the day after Raw fucking after Mania, which we'll get to in a moment. All my nonsense, you know me. I'm Cav. It's at Lingus Mafia. The man of the hour who is ready to go off and I'm going to give the floor to is your leader, your number one source for all your wrestling inside news. Don't you forget it, you scumbags. That's Billy Body.
Oh, yeah. And already this week we have Dave going, oh, I heard that three finishers, possibly four, were changed on the day. Fuck off. You don't know anything. You don't know anything about anything at all. There's just so much more, like, in-depth information about what could have potentially led to any finish being changed. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, of course finishes were changed, but they weren't changed for any kind of reason that you're coming out with, and you don't even know what was changed or what the match is. It's just a direct, generic sentence to chuck out. I mean, Raw, fucking hell. I went to bed at 9 o'clock UK time, which is 4 hours before it starts, and it was a whole different show planned. I knew what certain people were doing on that show, and when I watched it, they didn't do what they were supposed to do.
Really?
Which was essentially cut a promo and say it's time. I mean, somebody was supposed to chase something a long way around, is all I'll say. Not the way that they're doing it.
Gotcha.
So I'm not going to talk about that. Do you know what?
Let me take a guess, because I have no inside information. You don't need to comment if I'm right or wrong. I would guess that Drew was going to chase the title and not automatically have a rematch now. Not automatically, but quote-unquote earn the rematch the very next fucking pay-per-view already.
That would be
smart.
More logical.
Okay.
That would be more logical. But listen, this isn't a time. This is not a show after this WrestleMania and this Raw, which made me even more angry. this is not the time, I don't think, to talk about plans and creative and what they could have changed. And it's not even a chance. I don't even want to come on here and go, oh, 2-star, 3-star, 4-star. I don't give a fuck. I don't care. Like, this is so much bigger than that at this point, because this is WrestleMania. And I should not feel stupid for looking forward to this. I should not feel stupid for increasing my content, for setting up my room with like a display to have in my background for all of the shows I was to do during this period. I shouldn't feel guilty for allowing my son to stay off school on Monday.
You should feel ashamed of yourself.
Stay up both nights and you know, ordering loads of food and having someone over to watch it with us, like, and generally looking forward to it and making the whole weekend about it. I shouldn't feel bad about not giving my clients any NBA plays on Sunday night because I just said I just want to watch the wrestling and relax and enjoy WrestleMania, which I should be at. And this goes back an entire year. This whole anger goes back an entire year, because we were sitting back there, and even though the wrestling has been shit, I felt like 2020 had somehow delivered a relatively reasonable card. I looked forward to seeing how they did Fiend and Cena, and that story came full circle from 2014, which is what they were going to do. Goldberg and Roman was the wrong thing to do. Like, the Fiend shouldn't have been beaten. That's one of the you'll be saying that a lot on this show. The Fiend shouldn't have been beaten by Goldberg, but Goldberg, Roman, Fiend beating Cena, Drew chasing Brock Lesnar after, you know, getting a mega push and being mega over from winning the Royal Rumble. Somehow, amongst all of the bad stuff that they did, they put together a WrestleMania that everybody was looking forward to. Edge and Orton, you know, all those brilliantly performed segments that Orton did with Edge and then with Beth Phoenix. They were onto something good. They somehow delivered mostly 7 or 8 weeks of decent creative, and they were hit by COVID, and it was not their fault. And then they did what was debatable whether they should or shouldn't have done it in the performance center, right? Mm-hmm. But that still delivered two matches that everybody loved and were talking about and that were remembered. They managed to pull out two gems out of all of the shit. But obviously, Drew McIntyre will always be a negative touching the TV and winning the title from Brock Lesnar like that. From my own personal perspective, I was going to that Mania. I was going to all of the theme parks. And since then, just from my year, I've dealt with, like, having losing all of my members in March because I didn't know if sports were coming back. That was fucking stressful. The grandma that died from fucking COVID. I've had like fucking illnesses galore because I can't go and see a fucking doctor properly. And just like being medicated for random fucking symptoms. And in one blood test, it came up that my kidneys were failing. And then the kidney specialist said, no, they're not. You just have fucking high creatine levels and there's no evidence of anything else going on. But medically and emotionally and stressfully, it's been fucking shitty because there's been nothing going on. We've been looking at four walls for most of the year. We've had periods where we've been allowed out and then they told us that we were doing it wrong and we need to go back in. We're wearing masks that don't work. We're all acting like fucking idiots. People are arguing about pro-mask, pro-vax, anti-vax. They're like, everybody's fighting. Nobody knows what's going on. This fucking business is going down. There's people dying. There's people fucking that are still ill with it that haven't recovered. People that, like, you know, generally people have wasted a year or not gone through the year or suffered. Everyone's fucking suffered in some way or the other. Either you've been sick, either you've lost money, either you've not been allowed to what you do what you want to do. Either you're dead. If you're dead, you're probably not listening to this. But the fact is that it's been fucking shit. Everybody has been through the shit. And for this company, they did not adapt to this at all. They had the opportunity to turn around and look at the situation they're in, at least initially, and go, shit, we're the only people left that are doing anything. Like, we can now actually garner, use this to our advantage and be creative and garner a larger audience than ever. They went downwards. And then by the time that everyone else came back and they were actually losing an audience, they were absolutely fucked. So we suffered with that as well. We were not entertained. Some people couldn't even make peace with the behind closed door sports, you know, NBA no fans, NFL no fans, all that kind of stuff. I managed to adjust to it, and I was mainly thankful for it because at least by June, I had a business again. I had 2.5 months with no money other than what I already had on top of everything else that was going on. And as I said, there's going to be stories through the roof from every single person about what their experience was. So this company obviously suffered through that as well, but they didn't thrive through that situation. Everybody was booked terribly. Stars lost their shine if there were any stars in the first place. Drew as an example, how he was poorly booked. I use Keith Lee as an example of how probably the worst handling of someone coming up that had mega potential. And just generally everything that happened with his company was done incorrectly. And then WrestleMania came around and we were told there were going to be fans there. And the expectation is that this would be some kind of reset with the initiative to be that we're going to deliver a Mania that's going to try and bring all the fans back that we've lost. And also, at the very least, if that didn't work, we're going to thank the people that watched this fucking shit for the last 14 months at its absolute worst. And this fucking shit has been bad in periods of 93, in 95, in 2018, 2019. I think they're the worst times at the moment. I think that's the only person that was a positive coming out of this. But anyway, so we get WrestleMania, and this is what we end up getting. We end up getting on night one a fucking political sock job, right? To turn around and go to all the fans that turned up and supported this product. Instead, what they do is they end up making a political statement. They jump on a bandwagon of, yes, women are equal, which they're not, and black lives matter.
Oh, you're gonna say blacks were equal,
and black lives matter, which they do, but they don't matter. They don't matter enough to do this, right? No, nothing does. Nothing does.
No,
nothing
human life matters enough for this.
No, nothing matters enough in terms of to come out there and immediately start the show. You come out and start the show, and the symbolism of the same man coming out that finished the last Mania should not be lost upon anyone, because this should be there to symbolize the great reset and be like, here we are. This is where we left off when it got real bad. And now this is where we start off with this. We finish. It's like you should have forgotten about this whole year. You should have just turned around and gone, the last episode of WWE was WrestleMania Day 6. Or the last episode was the Royal Rumble and Drew was the number one contender, even better.
Yeah, pretty much, because, yeah, Mania was already in the shit tubes. Right. Yeah,
so Drew was the number one contender. You're all good then. Let's pause it. Let's come back. Let's pretend that the year didn't happen. Drew's still the number one contender, and he will win. And we couldn't get Brock Lesnar, but we got Black Lesnar. So it's just as good. He still had some MMA fights. He still looks, you know, legit. Like, we made him up to be as big of a monster as we could. I mean, as good as we could, because we only fucking thought of it six weeks ago, even though we had this fucking asshole working for us for years, since 2018 when he came back, and didn't do anything with him. We made him, like, pretend that he loved his sisters, and then we, like, put him in with fucking Lana and pretended that she was, like, you know, she was, like, riding Black Dick instead of Rusev Dick. Like, we did that whole fucking storyline with her instead. That's what we thought. That's where we thought he was. But then suddenly some cunt woke up in our fucking office or in our creative and decided, hey, you know what? This guy looks pretty fucking legit. You know what? This guy might be an asset to us. You know what? This guy could probably be the champion. Well, Kofi Kingston was a black champion before him, and he was there the entire time. And when you were pushing Kofi, nobody thought in their little fucking heads that maybe we should actually go with Lashley, because if you want to do the whole black thing, then actually there's somebody credible there that will cross over to the mainstream instead of a fucking black dreadlock anorexic that is never going to fucking pull it off. I mean, Kofi Kingston weighs 150 pounds. Mm-hmm. Like, how is that ever going to work? He's also been there for 11 years and no one took him seriously.
Go on.
But we'll push him. But we'll push him anyway. We'll push a guy that never, ever, ever got over at any time and is known as being in a tag team. But we'll push him, but we won't look in that direction at Bobby Lashley, a monster who's come from MMA. We'll still continue to fuck around with him. In fact, when Kofi was winning the title, you know what Bobby Lashley was doing? Losing in 3 fucking minutes to the Demon Finn Balor, who's now in NXT.
Oh, fuck.
Losing to Karrion Kross. This is what he was doing. And last year, he was losing to fucking Aleister Hot Topic Black at WrestleMania, right? So nobody had the fucking realization until we set up Drew McIntyre and Sheamus to do the whole friend turning on friend story, the match that they wanted to do. And see, you only had 25,000 people there anyway. You may as well have done Daniel Bryan versus Roman and retired him and have Drew McIntyre beat Sheamus, seeing as you shot all of the promo material with Sheamus as champion anyway. But no, you don't do that. You decide someone has this wake-up call and realization that it's better off to get it onto Lashley and that Lashley should lose to Drew. But Lashley doesn't lose to Drew. We don't have the big reset. And this is nothing to do with me being friends of Drew McIntyre or anything at this point. It's just simply the wrong thing to do. It's not about the fucking Drew McIntyre story, because the Drew McIntyre story hasn't been told properly anyway. Because if the Drew McIntyre story was done properly, then you would have been fucking airing all of the right stuff from creative anyway. You had been airing all of the documentaries. You had his reaction in the can about how he reacted when COVID cancelled Mania last year. You had everything to do that. So if this is about the Drew McIntyre story and doing it properly and protecting Drew, which you think you've done by giving him city wins in wrestling matches, but making him out to be like the most boring one-dimensional character, then no, you've not protected him anyway. You think you have because he didn't get pinned a lot. Because that's the criteria from this shit creative team with these old fucking nearly dead people that are running the company. Nearly dead, but unfortunately not dead yet. But that they're in charge and they think they know what they're doing. So a win to start with Drew wasn't about a McIntyre story. It just symbolized we are back and this is where we left off. Thank you for sticking with us. But no, he doesn't win. He ends up fucking losing in a Hurt Lock from a guy that you didn't do anything with for years, but you do it now. And then it's absolutely nowhere for Drew to go. So you can see the whole pattern of the night. You knew Bianca was going to win. These people, these two girls are in the main event. Sasha Banks, I can make my peace with, because throughout the years, throughout the Matt years, and especially this year, her promo skills aren't great. But at the end of the day, she's had good matches. Mm-hmm. She sells merch. She has a social media following. And obviously, she's smashing it out with the outfit. Like, my hand has received liters of cum looking at Sasha Banks throughout this year. So how can I turn around and say she shouldn't be there? But what the fuck is the other one doing there? What the fuck is Miss fucking swing my ponytail, can't cut a promo, man shoulders, flat chest doing there? What's she doing there? What's she done? What has she ever done to be there other than being black and having an eating disorder at the same time? Let's push every fucking social justice charity bullshit thing on this fucking WrestleMania. Let's not worry about what anyone wants to see. As long as they're women and they're black and they've had eating disorders and they've overcome some sort of problem, let's make it all about this fucking bullshit no one cares about, and let's put it on WrestleMania and finish the show with it. I don't care about Bianca Belair. Nobody cares. Nobody cares if she has to relinquish the title or fucking gets injured or dies. No one cares about her. Like, why is she in the fucking main event? No one cares. Like, no one wanted this. No one asked for this. No one asked for, like, to come out of this with bookended by two black champions in a political statement. And like I said, it's not about being black. It's just about the two people are just not very good. Like, that's the thing. Like, Lashley, there was a time to do it. We've seen him lose over and over and over again. Like, he's now 40 and you're doing this. It's stupid. It makes no sense. Like, and personally, from what I hear, like, he doesn't know how to work, and his talk and his carried through everything that he does in the ring. And he obviously doesn't know how to talk, which is why he's there with MVP. But you're still doing this now. And as for Bianca, she doesn't even have the years behind her. She's done nothing to absolutely beat. If you know, sometimes you don't need the years behind you if you're super over. She's not over. Nobody wanted to win that match. EST was piped in. And EST is like the stupidest fucking bullshit catchphrase
stupid
that's
ass
ever come. Yeah. It's the fucking dumbest and shittiest thing that they've ever done.
We should make our own shirt. Stupidest, dumbest, shittiest.
But then after going through night one, where you can turn around and go, oh, you know, some of the matches were good. I mean, Sasha got a good match out of her. And Cesaro and Roman Rollins had a good match. Mm-hmm. But it was night one. We knew it was the preliminary night. And then it was coming down to night two. And everybody wanted Edge to win. I didn't know how much until I heard the biggest fucking reaction that I'd heard for fucking 14 months. I was surprised that it was so one-sided, that they did not want Bryan at all. And they sure didn't want Roman. I thought even some people... You know, you get these fans that think they're cool when they cheer the bad guy. Oh, I cheer Roman.
I was the only one who wanted Roman to win. I love the character so fucking much now, and he's what makes SmackDown go for me. I'm like, fuck it, keep that fucking title.
But here's the problem with that. There's nowhere to go for, with Bryan leaving anyway, but there's nowhere to go for Edge. If Edge ever wins the championship now, or he's in line for it, it'll be like, well, so what? You didn't win it then. Mm-hmm. Like, it's Lex Luger. It's Lex Luger in 1993. You win it at the end of the Lex Express. You don't win it at WrestleMania 10. So Edge can never win the title now, at least not to the point where I give a shit. And that's the thing, like, everybody wanted that to happen. And I understand, yeah, Roman's the best heel in years. Yeah. And he should 100% have won it straight back, or even 2 months later, or whenever, and win it back in time for when the fans are there. Because when the fans are back properly, week by week, Roman Reigns is who I want as the champion. And I want babyfaces chasing him and failing. But I didn't want it tonight on this show. Mm-hmm. I wanted what everybody else wanted. Don't tell me that he retired 10 years to the day. Like, no point mentioning it. Like, it's just, it just makes everybody want it. And obviously, throughout the weeks, then Edge was doing his best work on talking smack, which, by the way, is just another problem that I don't have time on the show to get into how stupid it is to do the best build up to this match on talking smack.
Every time. Every promo on talking smack is fucking. The right, best
so you've
part
seen
of the
this
fucking...
thing, right? You saw this Edge.
I didn't see
thing,
the
right?
Edge thing. No, I saw the other ones that I was sending you guys with, even with Natty and fucking Paul Heyman and Tamina. I go, if they could be interesting on this show, I mean,
oh, this was Heyman. This was Heyman crying and saying, "I love you." Oh. They were talking about the SmackDown 6, and he hugged him. He went, "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that your dream is going to end like this, and that,
oh, wow.
and for what Roman's going to do to you. I'm so sorry." And then Edge, like, pushed, looked, just let him hug him and was smiling. And then he said to him, he goes, "I once pinned a man with one arm while my hand was going gray because it was still on fire. And that was just to get to the main event picture. He goes, what the hell do you think I'm going to do in the main event? So basically, it was much better than making it sound, but it was really fucking brilliantly done. And everybody wanted him to win because most people saw it. Austin wanted him to win. Umar, everybody, there was people that were here, people online. Everybody wanted this. And you don't always get what you want, which is fine. Like, because obviously it makes sense. If you really want it and you really are going to go all in this heel character and you don't give us what we want, who have suffered throughout the entire year and came out to this fucking show, how you don't respond to that pop, which you knew was going to happen. And the thing is, like I said, it would make a lot more sense and it would be more acceptable if the entire night two wasn't a big fucking shit on everybody from the very first match. For the second night in a row, you give the people in the first match what they don't want to see. And this instance is the fucking Fiend losing to Randy Orton after he's fucking burnt to death and came back to life. He gets pinned with an RKO. I remember how pissed off everybody was when Seth Rollins killed him with a toolbox. And now he's getting pinned with an RKO. Why? Two reasons. He came back fat, which I was talking about, and they weren't very happy about it. And this is a punishment. Or number two, they've got a sponsorship with DraftKings, and this killed every single parlay at DraftKings because they would have, if they turned around to DraftKings and said, if DraftKings said to them, they said, oh, just tell us the selection, the loss that makes you the most money, mm-hmm. which kills every single bet. Who is everybody picking yeah. as their 100%? Oh, the Fiend is in every single bet. Like, we have 77% of people have added the Fiend to their parlays. Boom, bye-bye, yeah. bye-bye 77% of people. Like, we can do that because we work with DraftKings and we will appease our sponsor over our creativity anyway. Personally, I think it's the fat thing. Or personally, I think it's a combination of both, because I think once you are, like, unhappy with the guy, it makes it very easy then to make this decision. But I think either or, I'm not going to pretend I know, or do I care? Because it's just the wrong fucking thing to do. That character is so fucking dead. How can you fucking ruin this? You didn't even make it, and you ruined it. Instead, you've, like, passed it on to Alexa Bliss and thought you could cash on in it twice. I don't care about what she's doing. Like, I mean, she's just there to look at. That's it.
Yeah, what,
like,
the fuck is she going to be now? I mean, she's going to be this goth chick by herself?
Is she feuding him? Are they going to have a match?
I can't imagine her having a match, but there is... I don't even understand her explanation.
They'll have a match with... you know, like Street Fighter, Hadouken match or something. Like,
what was her explanation? Can you explain it? Because I couldn't understand it.
The explanation is, like, I don't need you. I got all your powers. That's it.
It was, he fucking, you know, like he took her into the fucking dark, but, like, she didn't need that. It was fucking wrong of him. I don't fucking understand any of it. I was like, okay. And then I was
like, you made me and now I don't need you. It's like, it's very simple like that. It's better done in a lot of comic books, etc. But at the end of the day, like, that should not be happening anyway. This is your most popular character in terms of, like, merchandise sales. Mm-hmm. And you start the night. I've literally read reports, like, from people that were there that said the whole atmosphere was different and people never really got over what happened. It's like, I remember that being the case for the streak, and Daniel Bryan had to be so over, and he was, if you recall, mm-hmm. so over in order to overcome what they did to The Undertaker earlier on. Like, that Bryan had to be at just a ridiculous level for anyone to get. Nobody else would have elicited any reaction after the streak going down, except for the Bryan being in the midst of that yes movement at the time, right? Mm. Unfortunately, no one on this show had that. So for the next five matches, everybody was dead. Plus, the five matches were shit. Ripley and Oscar couldn't work together. We've seen Owens and Zayn for ages, and they were literally the only guys that did anything competent. Everything else, where I'm not even going to bother talking about the matches because they don't deserve it, was an absolute waste of time. I mean, Sheamus and Riddle, raw match. Big E and Apollo, raw match. Big E, Feed, Tampa, played in by Wale. A promo shot on SmackDown about him being in his hometown and where he gets his haircut and where he went to school loses. That's fucking stupid.
Well, that's what they do everywhere, though. I mean, anyone's hometown, you lose. You know how that goes.
Yeah, but come on. Like, you do, you do all that stuff. I know people lose in their hometown, but you're supposed to be behind this character. And look, I'm so honest that I'm on here and saying, for weeks, I like Apollo, mm-hmm. and I don't like Big E, right? I don't like Big E, do I, right?
No, yeah,
but
yeah.
This is so the wrong thing to do because, like, you're eventually... These two wrestlers will be in different positions where one is going to challenge for a world title and the other is going to go back to where he was, right? This is temporary. But it will never, we won't forget how embarrassed he was in this situation. Like, this is a bad, bad loss to take. Like, when in your hometown, come feed Tampa, all the video promos and everything that were put on. Like, obviously now he'll go back and chase that belt but he should never have taken this loss. There's so many people here who are dead that have come through. Keith Lee will never be the same. I don't think Big E's going to be a star. Matt Riddle is a fucking pot-smoking joke. Fucking Damian Priest gets pinned by The Miz on Monday, which makes it look like Bad Bunny was the star. They said to him, What did you do? Comes in, he lost. So he did nothing. So it's like they're trying to make us angry. Why are you doing this? Like, we're the ones that are here wasting our time on these fucking podcasts, giving you money, like supporting your fucking shit product out of some disgusting addiction and loyalty. Like, this is smoking. This is drinking. This is like being a junkie. This is not good for anybody that's watching. It's bad. It's like you shouldn't do it because there's no reason to do it because it's not entertaining and it's not good. But the fact is that, I started drinking when I was 18. That's why I always drink. I always have a drink. I always smoke. I can't stop doing drugs. This is what this is now. Shit. It's a bad habit. Like, there's no reason for it. And it's like everybody is stuck with it through the novelty of this is what I've always done. You don't have one fan now that's not watching it for the reason that's turning around and saying this is what I've always done. And look, the percentage of people that came on board in the last 3-4 years is just going to be so fucking low. So low. Like, there's nobody that can possibly join this and go, oh, I love this since 2018. What's wrong with you? Well, all the options that you have available of something to get into, you got into this. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I mean, you have that whole background thing. I'm like, as much as I don't like the Packers, I don't know how you're not having it designed with football and your country football and real sports. And I'm like, there is not a fucking chance I would have anything other than my fucking belts up in this fucking room. It's not my priority anymore. It's
that's the thing that's with me because I have when you move into a place you want to get it done quick, like you want to get it done, right? You want to live in it.
You want to be home. Yeah.
Yeah. You exactly. I have left walls empty that were designed for saves for wrestling pictures, and it's really been a tug of war where it turned around. I was like, I don't know if I want this belt in my living room. I don't know if I want this WrestleMania 30 in this prominent position. Like, you know, looking at
corners. Well, I would go old school and the memory stuff. You and your son with Hogan, that's a different thing. Old stuff, the good stuff, nothing fucking new.
That's up. Like, the Austin's photo is above the machine. The Warrior painting is holding the Warrior belt. That's fine, but that's one corner. But the fact is, like I said to you before, it's still WWE, and at these roots, it's still WWE Network, and everything still comes down to this same company, and this company still profit off their merchandise because they don't have the wall space for them. But it was just some habit that I need to shop at WWE.com a few days before Mania. I need to give them some money.
I do as well. I usually get the same thing. I get the hoodie without the sleeves, and I get the zip-up jacket for Mania.
Oh, no, no.
Get the same one. I have the same fucking design thing. And then, so this year, I'm like, well, I'll wait till after Mania because I figure it's going to be on sale, too. So I'll fucking jump on afterwards. But I always get the same one since, I think, New Orleans. Or, San Jose, actually. I think I've fucking been doing that since then. But, I mean, it's you got to go with fucking everything old, and you can't, other than that kind of thing, like, oh, every WrestleMania, I get something from that WrestleMania because it's, you know, numbered. But after that, it's wait until you think you're ranting and raving now. Wait until you have Peacock. You do not have any fucking clue.
No, I've got Peacock in my notes. It's not about Peacock. Okay, I understand. It's not just about... Okay, I understand. You've got issues in terms of the way that you watch it. Mm-hmm. But this fucking content thing is a fucking joke. Now, my anger started in the week leading up to it. So, I mean, this is the thing. So I started to... You know how you go back and... So this is the thing. Should I feel... When I was talking about all the things I was listing about, should I feel bad about caring, like going into it? Yeah. Should I feel bad about being exciting? We did the usual thing, the WrestleMania rundown. We all created cards as well. And we tried to, like... I know Austin did a card, which I've got somewhere. And we all... we tried to watch our cards back. And his main event was Austin Rock, right? And mm-hmm. I heard about the DX and the Nation thing was gone,
yeah.
And Roddy Piper was gone. I cannot believe, Cav, that they hurt and damaged WrestleMania 17. And you know what they damaged?
I don't know.
Do you know what they took out? What makes the match at WrestleMania 17? What makes it?
I would think it was the fucking TLC.
Okay, I mean in the main event. What makes the main event?
So it's Rock and Austin.
Mm-hmm.
And what makes that match? The fucking turn.
What makes
turn,
it exciting? Obviously, Vince the turn, right?
Yeah,
but
sure.
After the turn, isn't Rock just kicking out and kicking out and kills?
Yes, and he kills
out.
Him with a chair at the end.
And what's
yeah.
Austin doing? And what's Austin doing?
Oh, he's cursing and fucking screaming.
All gone.
Oh my god!
I can't keep this motherfucker down. This guy, I want you to hit him over the fucking head with a chair. It's silent. They've muted it out, so it sounds like there's audio problems.
So at least it's there, though, right? They didn't like cut the fucking piece out.
No, they didn't cut the piece out, but they muted.
Okay.
All of the time that he's talking, like, and go to different. They've destroyed the match. They destroyed the end of the main event of the greatest pay-per-view that ever happened.
They
ruined the main event.
It's because I'm such a fucking beaten animal at this point. Like, I'm so worried about the whole thing being cut out that now I'm like, oh, thank God it's only muted. Where before I'd kill somebody if it was mute. Now I'm like, oh, thank God.
Fuck. Yeah, but without him expressing how pissed off he was, without all of that, it's not the same.
No.
It's not... And now it's like...
So it's just crowd
Jesus
piped
Christ.
In? Is that what's going on?
It's just an audio. It's just blank. It's like when they say WWF.
Oh, so it's silent, the whole fuck. That's even worse. It's not even crowd piped over his mouth. Fuck.
No, it's just little bits of like silent. But wow. but and he's the... So, and that's all gone. And that's the thing. I remember when this whole thing came out, I was like, fucking hell. Like, I may as well throw these DVDs away. Fucking, I'm so glad I got them. Because you know what I did? And it sounds terrible because my son is 10, right? Mm. And people are going, well, why did you want your son to hear that? It's like, fuck you, you're a social justice loser.
Give me a break.
He needs to see it properly because this is history. And this is when it was done right. And he knows the words anyway because he plays Fortnite. So I fucking went under my bed into like boxes that I hadn't even unpacked yet and went through the whole fucking hassle of finding the actual DVD and putting it on and hoping it would still work, which it did, because that's how much it was like, they're not gonna win against me. I'm gonna fucking watch the WrestleMania that I want properly. Like, I'm not having his fucking censorship. Who's offended by that? He couldn't win. He was swearing about it. Why is this taken off? Like, they have Game of Thrones on that, and Viking or whatever on that Peacock, right? All the killing's gone there. On those shows.
I don't even know if that's on Peacock, but I mean, it's fucking, I couldn't believe when I saw, I said, Goldust is being erased because he had a black face. And I'm like, it had nothing to do with blackface.
I've looked it up. The TV show Viking is on there, and they do kill each other and chop each other's heads off and stuff.
Okay, not Game of Thrones though. That's what I was thinking.
Okay, right. But that's a show, right?
But yeah.
Is wrestling not a show? Is wrestling real?
Yeah, that's the funny thing, because it's in front of a live crew. So I said, oh, when people always go, oh, it's fake. And I go, what about a movie? And they go, no, it's different. And I go, okay, so a play. That's the fucking same then as wrestling, because it's in front of a fucking group. But the Goldust thing, his face is black and he wrote F-U on it. He's not pretending to be a black person. I'm like, what the fuck is, I mean, fucking Christ already. And as we know, Dustin Rhodes is half black anyway.
Is he?
Well, you saw that thing I sent you, the fucking.
I thought didn't he remarry?
But no, that says, it says her kids. Her kid is Dustin Rhodes.
That can't be right. They don't look black.
I don't think so either, but if apparently, I'm like, what is this? It says, what was her name? Sandra Runnels, and it says, children, Dustin Rhodes, grandchild, whatever her name, Dakota. And I'm like, what in the world? How is this how is this Dustin's mother? So the Sapphire thing was a shoot.
Well, or rip.
Oh God!
Well, this is the thing. So I'm done. Like in terms of what I need to say. Like I was pissed off.
You weren't excited about the new. Like you know, every Monday after Raw, after Mania, there's big returns and big fucking things happen. You're not excited by the new announcer saying the Viking Express is back.
Here's the thing. I feel like you have a lot to say. I have equally as much to say about Raw. But I feel like I've carried like.
Oh, I don't even know if I have much to fucking. I could give you a couple of tidbits. Like, I don't know why they had to change announcers to a guy. I get giving other people new people in, whatever, that's fine. If they, to me, they kind of have to be lifelong fucking fans or even the last 10 year fans. Get a person from baseball. I mean, and it's nothing against him. Somebody offer him a job, you're going to take it. Sure, why not? I would take a job if someone offered me to commentate for soccer and I don't know nothing about it. So he's in there and I'm like, oh no, here we go. It's going to be another Jeff Harvey situation. And it fucking was. And he's saying the wrong shit and he's doing the, oh wow, what a win. You know, it's really fucking rough. And I'm just like, why? And then this fucking Eric and Ivar are finally back together. And I'm like, oh, this is the big excitement that we get. It's those two. He's back from his 7 months for something that we didn't even notice anything happened to the fucking guy when he dove out of the fucking ring. It's not like he landed on his head. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, he's fucked up for that long?
The show's unbelievably bad.
It's fucking horrible.
Yeah, it's unbelievably bad for a Raw after. They should, on their social media, they knew they were going back to the Thunderdome, which is in itself crazy because you don't have to do that. AEW are not doing it. So I don't understand
why you think
this is okay. But like, it's got to be deflating for both the fans and even the wrestlers to go
big
back.
Time.
So you're going back to Thunderdome. Your social media is throwing out pictures in terms of going, oh, what's going to happen tonight?
Yeah, it's always something after Mania, of course.
Well, that's what they're saying that from all the old. I mean, they're using like collages of Ziggler cashing in and Rock challenging Cena. And
what a dick tease.
Okay, she's not been away for that long, so it's not really a return.
Yeah.
But something like Becky returning shouldn't happen. It shouldn't happen. I would look at it and go, this is dumb. I mean, Keith Lee coming back or Charlotte coming back is fine. But like, if it's going to be like a brand new person or a return from, you know, big one, like from a year like Becky, I would be looking at them and going, okay, this is a better show, but it's still dumb to do it because you don't know what you're doing either, even though you've... So sometimes, like, obviously, I mean, that sounds like we're saying, oh, you want it to be good, but you don't want it to be too good. It's like, no, I want it to be logically good, right? Which is what this wasn't. This was still match after match after match. So Lashley beats Drew, right? Mm-hmm. But then Riddle goes 20 minutes with Lashley. And that's how you open things. And then Lashley comes out later to give his promo anyway. You fire people from the Hurt Business, but then you hire people from Retribution. But they're actually going to be in the Hurt Business, though. They're just going to be like, obviously, hired hands, right?
Because I was like, didn't the Hurt Business try to take out Retribution?
Right. You got Wyatt feuding Alexa and not talking about Randy Orton at all. Like the Firefly Funhouse was terrible. It was basically, let's do Firefly Funhouse. Make sure we do what, because it will make people watch to the end because they'll think that he'll speak about the direction, and the direction is no direction.
So that was very odd because it just ended. He was like, all right, well, bye. And I'm like, huh? Fuck.
You got fucking baby faces, you know, because they have to get something out of the Mandy thing. So then you have the baby faces.
That was bad, yeah.
Getting counted out on purpose.
On purpose, yeah. They ran away because then, now it has to be Naya's tripping constantly because she needs to be made fun of. I'm like, oh my God, man. I mean, talk about cashing in on a slip and fall.
Why are they running away? And yeah, why do they play their music when they get counted out?
She was like, because Naya got so pissed off, they got scared and ran away. I'm like,
and then their music played. I think, wow. I think that she, that the referee forgot to count her out.
Oh shit!
But that's the only thing that makes any sense. So then we have the old, you know, the old original thing where three guys come out. Drew comes out. He wants a title match.
Yeah.
Then Braun comes out. I want the title match. Then Randy Orton comes out. I want a title match. And then Adam Pearce comes out and goes, you're going to have a triple threat match which to determine the number one. Oh, my God. Is this thing where people come out and talk in turns and ask for a title shot ever going to go away? Are they ever going to think of another way other than people coming out and talking in turns? Like, imagine UFC did this. Imagine, like, fucking the winner of his press conference. He goes, John Jones, you know, you just had a great fight. Who's next for you? Oh, I don't know. I guess I'll speak to Dana White. And then all of a sudden, like, fucking one guy comes out. And then the other guy comes out.
The whole locker room would come out.
Yeah. And then Dana White goes, you know what, John? I know we're going to do it in the next pay-per-view. All these guys are going to be in the octagon. And you're all going to fight.
At the same time. Fuck you. Jesus Christ.
And it's, like, fucking so fucking dumb. And it happens all of the fucking time. Yeah. And then to make it, obviously I've even missed out Priest getting pinned by Miz, which I've already talked about earlier, yeah. which is not that high. And that proves how stupid the show was. And then you're going to throw out a new commentator who doesn't go through fucking NXT UK. He doesn't go through NXT. He doesn't go through fucking, main event of, you know, nothing. Like that show, the new Velocity show, nothing, 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 nothing. He goes on to Monday Night Raw.
Jesus.
Monday Night Raw, which has been on for 28 years. It's like, does he need to practice? Nah, we'll just throw him out, like, because he's done some commentary.
Baseball.
Brown, you know, we ain't got a Brown one because, you know, we're the social justice organization who care about, like, Blacks and Chinese.
Wait
and
until
Asians,
a tranny
women,
is fucking on commentary.
Oh, I'm waiting for it.
Nyla Rose, she will be over there one day doing commentary.
I fucking hate them. I fucking hate this.
And we will continue to report on them. We will keep on talking about wrestling and watching it. I'm like,
give me your like fucking main takes in terms of night one. The Fiend losing. I know you wanted Roman to win, so I mean, yeah.
Here's the funny thing.
You didn't speak about night one, so.
Like, I don't know if my whole attitude has changed about not caring as passionately as you for 100% sure. I used to, and I think I've been a beaten woman so much where I had told you, and you objected to this before, where I said, I'm looking forward to a fucking audience, and I didn't care what was in front of them. I was like, I don't care. I need fucking human beings. I was first bothered that Vince is out on stage, first of all, where I said, the first thing that's fucking seen, and if it was just Vince by himself, I might be okay with that. Everyone's out there, so you see everyone's new outfit. That was always an exciting thing for me. Let's see what somebody looks like. See what they're wearing tonight. It's always something new.
Mr. Entertainment Tonight.
I like entertainment. Do me an Angela Lansbury outfit change. So I see Sasha's outfit. I see everybody's outfit. I go, great. All right. No surprise for me. And why are some people wearing outfits the first night that aren't wrestling until number two? That's a fucking other weird one. Only Roman was proper. He wore a suit. Edge is wearing full outfit. I go, why? And Brian's
Roman's
in full
outfit. Roman was in the fucking
Godfather
McMahon
suit.
Family. He was in the McMahon family.
He needed a blue suit. With the WWF patch.
But did you see it was Stephanie, Triple H, Vince, Shane, no, Roman.
Oh, that's
Shane was somewhere else.
Shane's in the back. So I'm like, okay, that's the first off the bat. I go, all right, here we go. We get to see, you know, Drew's dick hit the top rope, which Billy was wishing he was the top rope. I was like, I was texting that to you guys, and then I just put the phone down. I go, I don't need to fucking mention that his dick hit the fucking rope. It'll be fucking seen. After that goes down, I'm like, okay. A couple noticeable things. I thought Orton looked out of shape. I was like, is he getting a belly? It looked like he had a little bit of a gut going on. I said, okay. I mean, I wish I had that much of a gut going on. I would take it. But he looked like he was getting a little bit of a fucking gut. I don't know. When you were saying, you know, did they give us this and that for Mania? My thought was, well, would we be happy? They have to, everything would have to be a shocking something because the storylines, except for maybe one fucking or two storylines, there was no build for fucking anything. So at this point, I'm looking for quality of match because it, to me, it almost didn't even fucking matter practically who won because the storyline didn't have me have a vested interest in, oh, I want a blood feud. You didn't care. It wasn't Austin and Brett where they finally fucking meet. We see these people fighting each other every 5 fucking minutes. So I didn't really care about anything other than I said, all right, I'm looking forward to the Cesaro Rollins because I knew that was going to be a fucking great match. I said, this, if you want a match, there's a match. When it came down to the Sasha and Bianca thing, I texted you guys and I said, and I don't know if it's, it has to do with women. It does. Because I said, this is why it is rough for the women with the main event, because they were fucking crying before the match started. Because, and I understand, God bless you, you're happy to be there. It's a major accomplishment. I tip my fucking hat. It's a big thing in your fucking life. I get it.
Is it deserved? Was it a deserved major accomplishment? Or was it just handed to them because of the color of their skin?
I think it probably had the most fucking, the longest storyline that we've seen since it was from the Rumble, other than the Roman and fucking one from the Rumble too. But I'm like, I think 3 months is the longest possible storyline we had. So
but it was a bad story.
Yeah, there wasn't like, they weren't killing each other. I mean, there was a couple of those sneak attacks, but it wasn't a fucking big deal, obviously, to get there. There wasn't a long storyline. So I'm like, okay, I mean, Bianca's a great athlete. Okay, you know, it's the same with, who did we say before? It was like, yeah, they're fucking great athlete, and you know, but whatever. The crack of the fucking whip on the fucking belly, that was a motherfucker. No slapping legs, but crack that fucking whip. So, but I was bothered that, you know, everybody's fucking sobbing before the fucking match. So it's like, oh no, oh God, here we go. You know, they can't just get out there and be fucking pissy and mean. I didn't enjoy Ripley winning the belt the same way as you with the Bianca, where I'm like, I get that she's been in NXT and done something, but I always feel, okay, now do something here. Build yourself up. You have to work to get a... She walked in, I'm getting a title shot. I fucking... It bothers me. At least Bianca, they set her up to, oh, she won the fucking Rumble. Fucking... The other one walks in and goes, I want a fucking title. Thank you. So that was fucking bothersome. And I really thought it would be good if Becky came out after, like, Asuka wins or something and says, well, I'll take the belt back now. I asked you to hold on to it, and now I'll take it back. I thought that would have been fucking interesting to do. Let's see, what else is going on? I mean, they all hated Logan Paul. So, you know, you were hoping that Sammy would do an Austin and drop him. So who cares?
You know what we didn't talk about?
Bad Bunny being good.
Yeah, I think that was the best part of the weekend.
It was, and it was obviously, it was like, and what's funny is that Miz and Morrison like pretty much fucking K5 and said, yeah, it was because we fucking did it. He made the fucking Bunny Destroyer happen. It wasn't fucking Bad Bunny. It was fucking Morrison. So it wouldn't have happened with anybody else in the fucking ring with him.
Yeah, but don't you, that's fucking stupid. Like to come out and say that.
Because he shouldn't have, of course. That's why I was like, boy, he's breaking down the fucking, the whole thing. Like, K5 that shit. Don't make it like you fucking did the match because it was true.
At the same time, there's been girls that have been in there with Bayley and Sasha Banks were the best, and Charlotte was. She hasn't been that great lately. By the way, she looked good when she came back on Monday.
Than the hips of a young boy. She couldn't carry a laundry basket on her hips, that's for sure.
But regardless, when you put certain girls in with Charlotte and Bayley, they've still not been able to carry it off. So like he still has to do his part. He still has to, like, Morrison has to make the jump on the Canadian Destroyer, but Buddy has to, they have to jump in sync.
Yes.
Morrison may have to go now or whatever.
And he sold well, all that. Yeah, I give him credit for sure.
If he's selling, there's nothing, they got nothing to do with his selling and him taking the moves and selling it. So yeah, I mean, obviously everything is largely down to the person who calls the spots, calls everything at the right time. There's always one person carrying the load, like when Drew works with Lashley, but the other person still has to pull everything off. And when you look at all of the women, except for one of two, who cannot pull off their end of things and cannot sell, then it really does. This was embarrassing for the women. This was embarrassing.
That match
for
was
people.
A wreck. That four-way fucking, or the gauntlet, right. Whatever the hell. That was a fucking disaster.
But I mean,
disaster.
Just generally, in terms of when you're looking at the women, and you're looking at certain performers like Titus O'Neil, for example, and there's other men that I can mention. Like, the standard of wrestling is really not too bad in terms of where they make massive mistakes now. I think that type of roster, there was a period where, you know, in the 2000s, where they were trying to get over, like, monsters like...
Baracus.
He was earlier than that, but I was talking like Sylvester Turkai and Gene Snitsky and Heidenreich and, you know, all these guys, and they couldn't do it. So there's not so much of that now, but I mean, but the women is very, very forced. They're now very, very bad, and I very, very much don't want to see it.
What do you think about the nip slip? Not the slip, but the nip slip.
Well, I didn't really notice them.
You didn't notice the titty that hung out? I fucking saw that shit in a flash. They blacked it out afterwards.
I looked at all of the
pictures,
flashbacks of that. He's all areolas, and I don't think that doesn't count.
Oh, that counts, man. Aureoli showing? Fuck, that's completely fucking counts. You don't need to actually have the nub sticking out. The round around it, the fucking nice sand dollar, that's fine.
So you're not bothered, you were not bothered by The Fiend losing. You didn't think, fucking hell, this
you
character
know,
is
I thought it
so
was.
Dead.
I thought the thing is with Mania, I take things as, you know, they're going to try to do something completely opposite on a match or two. And that was the fucking backwards one where you go, okay, the guy lit him on fire and killed him, and now he fucking loses the match. I was very shocked by it, and they tried to save face by having it be from a distraction by bullshit. But I don't know if I get as fucking angry where I'm just like, it's just there now. I don't get excited any really much for it. I'm like,
so
I'm more excited when I'm ordering for food.
So you're not angry because you passed the point of angry because you thought they killed the character already anyway.
Yeah, I do. I think they've killed it long ago. Now when I see The Fiend, I watch it for entertainment more than I hope they do something. Like, I enjoy the entrance. I enjoy the character. Like, they've killed him. They, like you said with the Goldberg thing, that was ridiculous. It was brand new holding a belt, and he fucking killed him quickly. A fucking old man. I'm like, okay, so he was dead right then and there. Him coming back to life and not having to wear a burn costume, that was fucking... But I guess they're kind of like, just forget it ever happened. Who cares? Because remember I said on the Russo show, I go, they're going to have to find a way to get him out of this fucking burn thing quick, because he was wearing full fucking arm outfits with gloves that were like burnt hands. And I go, you can't work like that. It's a big fucking rubber suit he's wearing. And, boy, he walked through a fucking hallway and became fucking normal again. I go, okay, well, there you go. That's the end of that. The Alexa thing, it did make sense. And at the same time, they could have not even made it that she was turning on him. She's just a fucking whack job that's fucking oozing blood. I don't know. They could have just... And he was like, what was wrong with her? But now she's like, fuck you, which I don't fucking know why he saves her. And the whole thing fucking doesn't make any sense. But for just
she gonna have another, she can have another man. She can have someone to fight for her. So she's gonna fight. She's gonna fight him. I'm telling you.
Oh my god! You know what? And it's gonna be one of those fucking weirdo funhouse matches where she's flying upside down like Chun Li, like you say, fucking, and he's doing weird shit, and that's what's gonna fucking be. I like the new doll she has, but you notice they must have listened to my show where I said only pedophiles voted for Alexa Bliss because you see the outfit she was wearing on Raw now. Now she's got a fucking bustier top with her titties fucking up to her neck. I said, now she looks a little fucking better, even though she's got this, you know, with the fucking eye makeup and all this bullshit. I told you, I'm the beaten wife. I don't expect anything good anymore. If something happens to surprise me, I'll say, oh, look what they did. They did a good job. Otherwise, it's fucking practically background noise for me now. I was watching a John Wayne Gacy fucking documentary while Raw was on last night. The main event came on and I fucking put on something else as the main event came on, and I put it on another TV just so I knew what happened. But I gave a fuck and I said, oh, this, the big surprise was that fucking the Viking Raiders came back, a team that I could give two flying fucks if I ever saw them again. And this was the big fucking return for fucking, I really thought they were going to try to do something.
How is this making it onto TV? How is three guys coming out and saying, oh, I want a shot. Oh, I want a shot. Oh, I should get a shot. And then they make a match. And how do they not think? How do they think? Hold on a second. This is going to be on television, right? Yeah. People are going to watch this on television, right? We have a big audience on television. Like, shouldn't we think about some ideas to do something that isn't always what we do? Like, that's just a first step.
To me,
that seems like a real logical discussion to have.
Do you think it's Vince's fault or the writer's fault? I think it goes to the Vince and he goes, no, I like this, this, and this. And they're like, I think they're frustrated and go, fuck, man. Anything good that comes up. You know, Elias pitches ideas that they just say, fuck you. I mean, so what the fuck?
I wrote something for Drew, okay, so, oh, fuck, it's difficult to say because the people that report what we say. But I came up with something better for Drew, which I put into the group. I don't know if you read it.
I did see it, but I thought it was kind of out of context because I didn't see the prior thing that you said. I thought it needed that too.
The gist of what I said was, is for him to say that I got beat, I got injured, I was hurt 2 weeks ago in the Hurt Lock. I didn't tell anyone at WWE. I went to go and see my own doctors because I knew WWE wouldn't let me have the match, and everybody told me that I shouldn't. But I still came down. I still worked my ass off. I still fought through all the pain. I still had the match. And I'm furious with myself because after everything that I did, after getting back into this company, after winning the title, after fighting through injury for 2 weeks and making it to the match, and then being in a position to win the match, I allowed myself, a 17-year veteran, to get distracted by MVP. And I wanted him to really be like, I allowed myself to get distracted, and I wanted him to hit himself.
Mm-hmm.
I let my fans down, I let my family down, but most importantly, I let down the person I have to see every day in the mirror. I now have to look at myself and know that I allowed myself to be distracted by somebody, somewhat of my experience. But I wanted him to be angry. It was written better. But the idea was basically for him to blame himself, for him to say, I'm fucked off at me because I've done all of this work and I got distracted by a manager, someone who's been doing this for so long. I don't deserve another title shot. Mm-hmm. I'll go to the back of the line and then just to walk out with a fucking bloody head from where he was hitting himself, going, I allowed myself to do this, that, the other. I mean, that was basically...
Like when Macho Man was in the back of Saturday Night Main Event after Elizabeth was smacked and he was like fucking tearing at his own face, fucking upset.
Yeah, I wanted him to be upset and I wanted him to blame himself and say that he let everybody down and to say that he... But I wanted him to sneak the injury thing in there to say so that people would be like, oh, he passed out because he was already injured. Right. So, I mean, he gets protection from that as well. But that part wasn't as essential as him saying, if I've lost my edge, if I allow myself to lose focus like that and I don't deserve a title match and I need to go away and get my edge back. Right.
Did he like it?
Yeah.
But I wonder if it was pitched.
It wasn't on TV, so they went with three men asking for a title shot and triple threat instead. I mean, I'm not gonna send him any ideas anymore. I can't take it when it's like I'm not turning around and going, oh, I can't take it when they're not used, because you know if they're not used, when you're not used, and you know when something like.
Sure, it's deflating. You go, why am I bothering?
Like, not just that, but like obviously when something's not used and you see something else, you'd be like, oh, they did that instead. Like, you know, when I had ideas for the Randy Orton feud originally, and then you know, they went down the whole thing with like Ric Flair in it. Mm-hmm. And it's like I thought to myself, you know, I didn't know that I could have Ric Flair because I didn't know he was coming in for this. And and you know, it's like, and you know, with the whole thing they did with the Legends and with Randy Orton attacking like Sean and all that. I was like, okay.
You kind of have to have an insight that what's going on to be able to. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I that was fine with me that they did that. But in this instance, when you sit there and you write something and you think, okay, like how about this? You know, because and then you see a triple threat match with three guys coming down to the ring. And now also when I believed that our direction to go into was to actually move away from the title picture, completely, and rechase it, and then they just give him the title match at Backlash, WrestleMania Backlash, by the way. You just think to yourself, like, you just think, what's the point? Like, they're not listening to me or him or any or their own writers. Their young writers, like Vince, is just doing whatever he wants to do. He's just trying to get onto the next pay-per-view. There's no protection here. Drew's going to lose two pay-per-views in a row, no doubt. And then, like, where does he go? Then he'll really be fucked. Yeah. And there's just nothing you can fucking do or say about it. It just seems like a complete waste of time. They'll just put this fucking shit out anyway, no matter how much better the ideas are. And that's the thing. That's what makes it essentially pointless, that it's not something better that's going on or something completely alternative or out of the box. It's just the fucking same old shit. I mean, he's not even fucking getting away from it and chasing the belt. And the thing is, I'm proven right before the match has even happened, because all you need to do, and you guys can all do this, like Kav, you can do it right now, go to social media, Facebook or Instagram, go and have a look at the comments that Drew McIntyre won the triple threat match, and go and have a look at the comments where there's like they say at Backlash it's going to be Drew McIntyre and Lashley. Go and have a look and see if anyone wants to see it, and go and have a look at what they're saying now about Drew compared to a year ago.
I'll
tell you what,
it's that different.
I actually sent it to some people, so I'm going to actually, it's going to take me 2 seconds. It's right here on my phone. You don't have to look. You can just go. You can just see this. My point here. Where is it? Shit.
Well, that's something. I mean, I could look at it, and then that could be the report for next week. The difference between the fucking 2 years.
Because that's
a good one to actually talk about, because I'll get deep into old shit and new shit.
Oh, so you're gonna find the stuff from next year.
Yeah, I'll find some from last year and then from this year and see the difference.
Yeah, I can. Because I need to send you like 8 pictures, but it's not on my WhatsApp phone because I'm using that now. But I can send you like one.
Okay,
that's all. I can send you one. You'll just get the gist.
Yeah. It's they always have this. They strike after the iron is cold. Like, they never like when Strowman was hot to shit, they fucked him. When Roman was finally being fucking cheered, they didn't have him win. And it was like they fucking miss every fucking time.
There you go. You can see some of them now.
Okay. Just, let me see.
That's just some.
All to get him back in the Hurt Lock again. Drew again. This is getting boring. Everyone laughing at the name of Backlash. That's another one. Most overpushed wrestler in recent years. How many title shots does he get? I like Drew, but he doesn't deserve all the matches he's getting. Didn't this exact match happen last year? Oh, my God. Yeah. So, yeah, people. And what I saw last night, too, afterwards, it did feel like it was. It fucking wasn't right. It didn't hit right at that point. Like when he was talking on the mic, I was kind of like, oh, I don't want this anymore.
There's more that just came through.
Here it is. If Drew didn't win at Mania, why would he win at Backlash? It should have been Randy. Why? Drew already lost. Give us the same match again. Why again? Cena plus Triple H equals Drew. Bathroom break. Oh, damn, again, we want someone new. Eek. Yeah, they've totally fucking killed this. Now Drew's the fucking guy that everyone's gonna say get the fuck off my TV. He should have, like you said, he should have went back down and worked his way up and like kind of been hidden a little bit. Second match, shit like that. Just and silent, quietly work his way fucking back up.
What do I know? I mean, I only watched this for 31 years, and that's the thing. What do I know about like fucking how to get over? Like I only fucking auditioned for a show that had,
I had 8 billion people,
a quarter of a million people wanted to get 18 spots, and I managed to fucking get one.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't, you know, just fucking. I only like had everyone in British wrestling every wanting to fucking kill me after every fucking promo I cut. So I mean, that's the thing. Like fucking, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of fucking writing better stuff, having better ideas, talking about better ideas on here, thinking about how to move forward. Like, it's not my fucking company. This is just a TV show I have to fucking watch and suffer for.
Yeah, you care too much at this point, too. I think you care a lot too much. Because, I mean, you were angry, and I see all this, right? And I'm like, I don't know why you care anymore. I've gotten past the stage. I'm like, whatever.
It's not like, just about the wrestling. Like, it's like, in terms of...
They're killing your childhood, too.
Not just that, but in terms of like all the fucking, look, this would not affect me as badly if we're fucking going out, going to the cinema, I'm fucking having sex with women, like fucking be seeing my friends. Like, you know what? It's different. It's different. It's like, it sticks in your mind for like a day. You don't also, you don't look, you know, normally it'd be like, oh, it's Sunday. So I would start thinking about this, you know, on Sunday morning, mm-hmm. It'd be like, oh, it's WrestleMania today. Or, you know, I'd be there. I'd be, you know, and that's the other thing. Yeah. That's the other thing as well. When you're there, you're on your holiday, and I've sat through bad manias. Yeah. I've sat through bad manias before, and that's what everybody previously like. There was this whole thing. It's like, oh, what? Oh, you pissed off. You went to 29. Oh, you pissed off. Like, you know,
you have a good time. You know, it's a lot different in person.
It's like it's 5 hours. It's five hours of an entire week or a week and a half in some occasions. It's like, and I like the States. I like I like the States, United States, but I like the States. I like to see the different states that we go to, like Louisiana or fucking, New Orleans, San Jose, New York, Florida, constantly or wherever. Like, for me, it's just like, it's always a fucking holiday, and it's much, much bigger than if the Mania is good, that's bonus. But I never, ever, ever have been in the mindset of anything I've ever been to, be a shit UFC card, shit WWE card or whatever, and the card has not determined like the rest of the holiday. If I fucking go to WrestleMania and it's fucking shit and I go onto onto Bourbon Street and I'm getting a fucking blowjob like 2 hours later, fuck, is out of my mind. This is not out of my mind because nothing, all I've done since it happened was I was sat at home, like
I thought Umar gave you a blowjob, no?
No.
Nigerian drum blowjob.
Fucking hell.
But I got those extra large lips because of the plates. I figured it'd be a very nice blowjob.
He did get me mayonnaise, but he didn't actually.
What was it in there? Condoms and mayonnaise? I forgot what was in that bag. What was in that bag you had?
Oh, that one bag with that girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went down. I got condoms and mayonnaise. Because they're the two things. I needed condoms, and I was about to order food.
That's so great.
And I was like, I need mayonnaise.
So hell of a combo.
Went to the petrol station, petrol garage, and said, can I have some mayonnaise and those condoms? And I even go, they're the only ones you have. Like, because it was those fucking blue ones, the double thick, no sensation. Like,
I need those. Fuck.
But yeah, so I mean, that's fucking, well, I forgot what I was in. So that's the thing. I just carry around a lot more because this is more important, like a more important thing in life at the moment than it ever was before. And even when you're, and it sounds so stupid because I'm there and you're thinking, come on, like you spend $1,000 and you're there and you obviously want that one to be better. No, I don't, because you know why? Because it's just a part of the small part of things. I get over it instantly. Well, once you're at the fucking stadium, nobody knows about this, unless you go to WrestleMania, you don't know the process of getting out. And that's the part where you really think, was this worth it? Because I have to get out of this fucking building with these smelly fucks, like, and it's like, I mean, how long does it take you to get out of a WrestleMania when it's done?
Oh, it's a fucking cattle call. Usually now,
I'm talking your seat to your hotel room. Hours.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, that's why you're all fucking shoulder to shoulder shuffling. That's why I stay in the fucking seat. I was like, fuck this. I think in New Orleans, we just sat and fucking waited, and still we got fucking stuck. It was like, what the fuck? Yeah, so that was it. But let's get the fuck out of this show. We're fucking done with it. I have to go on to something better than talking about fucking wrestling shortly. I got to talk about police brutality and how I'm on the side of the police. But tune into my show to hear that.
Hold on. Yeah. So your show is not going to talk about WrestleMania on this week.
No. It's not a fucking wrestling show. I have nothing to do with fucking wrestling over there, thank God. It's fucking just pop culture, whatever the fuck I did during the week.
Why do you change the name of it?
Yeah, it's Lingus Mafia. It's not Wrestlingus. It's Lingus Mafia. I got to send you a fucking show. I know you never listen to any of these shows that I fucking send you, which we tell people to send in a show.
I'm too busy watching
garbage. I was going to say, don't ask people to send in a show because when I send it to you, you don't listen anyway, and they waste their fucking time.
Yeah, but you sent me a show of a guy that you already said was...
But he sent in for that. He sent in for that. He made it no
that was
NBA.
Not, that, was not made, that was not made clear to me. I thought you were just resending me what you already liked.
No, I said a guy sent in a show. I didn't even say my guy. I said a guy sent in a show because it was no NBA on there. It was all just 30 minutes, 20 minutes wrestling. I said, here you go.
Oh, I should have listened to that. I will listen to that.
Go listen now, I guess. Yeah. It's just weeks old. So here's the other thing I got for you. I'm going to send you. I get a guy that does a show once a month probably. It is the greatest. It's about 20 minutes long, and it's called Creepy Crutchfield's Girls of Porn, Where Are They Now? And he goes...
Creepy Crutchfield, I know he's a member to my Patreon,
really?
I think.
He is the great... He fucking... And he's got a hillbilly Alabama accent, and he fucking goes through the fucking history of old porn stars and what they're doing now. It is the fucking greatest show ever, and it's on my fucking Patreon. It's the fucking greatest. I gotta send it to you. This week, he did... Stop Asian Hate. So he did Annabelle Chong and fucking Asia Carrera.
Asia Carrera, where's she gone?
Well, he gives a whole rundown of where she's at and how much she's worth and all that shit. It's fucking something else, man. It's really fucking something. Annabelle Chong got fucking gang raped in a fucking alleyway when she asked to fuck one guy. He brought a bunch of people and fucked her and left her in a fucking trash heap. It's wild. He got all kind of fucking info. I'll send it to you. It's great.
I had Asia Carrera tapes. One was called Babe Watch. She was like in Baywatch, but Babe Watch, yeah.
I will email it to you the second we are fucking off, because you gotta listen. It's fucking great. So, and you'll laugh because he does a Chinese impression, which is even fucking better. So, all right, that's the show this week. We'll be back next week with some more bad news for everybody. Remember, listen to us so you don't have to watch that, and we'll cut out the fucking middleman for you. He's Billy. I'm Cav. We'll see you next time.
My name is Derek Montilla, occasionally known as a big-ass piece of shit.